trips out of it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Good.
Awesome.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, Sun
That's
Country.
A big deal.
Did you guys fly Sun Country to Vegas just this last
time? Not this last time, but I know my, sister is coming from Bozeman this weekend flying Sun Country.
Yeah.
She's never done that before because they never had the option, you
right.
know? So she's super excited about that, but yes.
Okay, so we got to talk a little Hollywood stuff. Yesterday, we just talked for like a second about Jessica Chastain. There were photos of her that she's going to be starring as the late Tammy Faye Baker in the upcoming biopic, The Eyes of Tammy Faye.
Uh-huh.
A play in the name, The Eyes of Laura Mars, I guess. I don't know.
Yes, and she was known for her eyes and her amazing mascara game and her eyelashes, remember?
Yes, and the movie, The Eyes of Tammy Faye, I guess it's based on a 2000 documentary of the same name.
Okay.
And Jessica Chastain is producing this, and Andrew Garfield is that butthead Jim Baker, and Sean Penn's father-in-law, Vincent D'Onofrio, is Jerry Falwell.
Oh, interesting.
And People magazine had all the picks, and Jessica Chastain, her Tammy Faye is not Nicole Kidman as Lucille Ball levels of disaster. It's pretty unbelievable. And Jessica posted some stuff on her Instagram, and she did almost 10 years of research on Tammy Faye. I'm just going to, for people who are following along on YouTube, I'm just showing Jessica and then a real picture of Tammy Faye. But she said, I was so blown away researching Tammy Faye and her story. The thing I loved most about her is her capacity to love. She knew what it felt like to not feel important. She didn't want anyone to experience that. And Jessica went on, Chastain went on to say to People that the joke about Tammy Faye's mascara running down her face was complete BS. The glamorous Earth Angel Julia always kept her raccoon eyes nice and clean. And she said, Jessica, here's a woman that I had an idea of because of what I was fed about her, even the thing with the mascara. There's not one picture of her with mascara running down her face in reality, but people were always making her into a clown and punishing her for the mistakes of her husband, which all throughout history, women have been the victim of atoning for the sins of men. And she spent 4 hours a day getting makeup, prosthetics, and wigs, and makeup artists had to make her face rounder and cover her dimpled chin, because Jessica has a dimpled chin.
Oh, you're kidding me. How many hours?
Four hours. And Jessica Chastain told People she was most surprised with Tammy Faye Baker's 1985 interview with Christian gay minister and AIDS patient Stephen Peters, which is what inspired Tammy to get involved and support the LGBTQ movement. And she told People about this. This is why she wanted to make The Eyes of Tammy Faye. She said, because in a time in 1985 when people were even afraid to say AIDS, we had this female televangelist, and she was a minister too in her own right. She wasn't just the preacher's wife, the singer. The interview is phenomenal. It's so beautiful and loving, and it was such a huge turning point in terms of what people would associate God's grace with, because I feel like she was filled with grace. So I'm kind of excited
to
see this movie when it comes out, because there was like this whole caricature thing. And isn't she from here?
Yeah, International Falls.
Yeah, and she had, you know, the PTO ministry and everything. And her husband had a massive sex scandal.
Oh, he's gross.
And he was gross, but she did take the fall.
Yes.
And then he went to prison. And then I remember her relationship, though, with Larry King. And he would always have her on. And she died in, I think, like 2007. She had colon cancer that spread to her lungs or something. But as she was dying, she was always on. And she always was a woman of grace and forgiveness.
Yeah.
And a lot of loveliness. She was a lovely, lovely person. But yes, her face was a caricature in itself.
Yeah.
And I never thought about the mascara running down. I just remember her always having so many clumpy eyelashes.
Yeah.
But this sounds like it's going to be great.
Doesn't
it? Okay, so that one's being made. Other
and that's posted if you want to take a look at the trailer for that. It looks really good.
I think another documentary that's going to be really good, and this is based on Gretchen Carlson's story, and her fight about her ongoing effort to end the use of non-disclosure agreements because her NDA is in the workplace. And so this film that about Gretchen Carlson's story with Fox News, Roger Ailes, and it's called In Her Own Words. It's directed by Emmy nominee Cynthia Lohan. She did Bully. And it will dive into the consequences of forced arbitration of NDAs, examining how they impact every facet of a person's life because no longer can you even speak your truth.
Right.
You're handcuffed.
Right.
And so I think that's going to be a good story to hear. Yeah. I like her. Yeah. I like Gretchen Carlson.
Well, you know, and I mean, and the thing is, the company feels that they can do that because we're paying you $20 million. You should keep your mouth shut.
Well,
that's what they're feeling about that.
I, as a company owner, would understand that.
Yeah.
If it was my company, I'm paying you to shut your mouth now.
Right. Either,
you know,
right.
Period.
So.
And then the other one that we saw, and it's posted on the Lori and Julia show page today, is the Anthony Bourdain. It's called, what's it called?
Roadrunner.
Mm-hmm. And it's an intimate behind the scenes. I don't know if we can play a little bit of it, Rocco, but it's so...
I've got it here. I mean, it's pretty... We'll see. We'll see if it translates okay, well to okay. Radio here.
It was almost never about food. It was about Tony learning how to be a better person.
You're probably going to find out about it anyway. So here's a little preemptive truth-telling. There's no happy ending.
1, 2, 3, 4...
Chef Anthony Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain.
Anthony Bourdain. The renowned chef and best-selling author of Kitchen Confidential.
All the TV chefs are so cuddly and adorable, you know, maybe I'm the antidote or something.
Has a new program, Parts Unknown.
1 minute I was standing next to a deep fryer, and the next I was watching the sunset over the Sahara. What am I doing here?
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it looks really good.
That's going to be in theaters or starting at the Tribeca Film Fest or something?
Yep, July 16th, it'll be in movie theaters. And I just remember how shocked we all were in 2018 when he died by suicide. And it's an intimate behind-the-scenes portrayal. The Oscar-winning filmmaker Morgan Neville, Won't You Be My Neighbor, did that movie. So he's doing this one, too. I think it'll... He was everything. He was in studio with us, Rocco.
Really?
Mm-hmm. We had a line.
He was doing a reading over at the Triple Rock on Bacon Night.
Okay.
I can't believe you remember that, Lori.
I know.
I can't believe you remember that.
Pretty good food.
I do. They had Bacon Night. It was Wednesday night, and he was doing a reading, and, you know, he was just so hip and cool, and I pretended I'd watched his show. I never watched his show or heard of him.
Donnie booked him, and we even are like, who's that?
And Donnie's like, oh, he's
the next, everything.
He's everything, and he's done Kitchen Confidential, I think. So, like, the foodie people knew him. But he came in, and he was... Incredibly charming and handsome.
So good looking.
He did not care at all that we did not know
who
he
was.
He thought I was hysterical. And he goes, well, why would you know? I mean, he was very
down to earth.
I think who you saw on TV is kind of who he was. And I don't know. I guess did he get like famous like overnight? Basically,
well,
is that
Kitchen Confidential was 2000. The travel.
No, but when he said that for him, I was saying extra fryer, and then next thing, like, is that did his
he
life...
always worked in the restaurant industry,
right.
And then No Holds Bar back. I don't know, but I remember traveling, and it would say Anthony Bourdain was here. You know, and to wild places.
He and Andrew Zimmern were like kind of like they brought us on travel adventures with
that
food.
We'd never seen before.
Okay, I'm very excited about this news, Julia. I decided to go to Variety today to see what has been cast. Have any of our books, have any of our authors, has any traction happened with anybody?
Because Reese Witherspoon would be too shy to directly respond to us to say, good idea, girls.
But okay. I'm very happy to report that Jamie Lee Curtis's production company, along with Blumhouse Television, have purchased, they're adapting and doing a series on the Patricia Cornwell's Kay Scarpetta character.
I love that.
Which is, she's a forensic pathologist.
Yes, she is.
There's been 24 books with Kay Scarpetta as the main character. They're always great stories. It's solid. I envision this like a Bosch type of thing. Jamie Lee Curtis would be perfect as Kay Scarpetta.
I'm so excited about this news.
And they are just, they secured the right to the whole franchise for Kay Scarpetta.
She looks like her, Lori.
Yeah.
My gosh.
And Jason Blum is going to produce it, of course, along with, Jamie Lee Curtis. But that's very exciting. And I think built-in fan base. And, I mean, just looking at, like, the success, like, look at how well Bosch has done. Is that Amazon?
It is Bosch on Amazon. And that's Tom Clancy. Who is it behind it?
It's Michael Conley. And it's Titus Welliver. But that was like one of Amazon's, you know, they put money in it. They filmed it in L.A. And it's turned out to be a good show for them. And people, it's very, you know, and it's wrapping up its sixth and final season. They're going to do another adaptation. But the Skate Case Scarpetta, when you have a book like that, mm-hmm. an iconic series, and if you can cast a actor that would be passionate about it, and I feel like Jamie Lee Curtis would just like, I am Kay Scarpetta.
And this has been, you know, 10 years ago, Angelina Jolie was attached to play her in a feature film that never got off the ground.
Because this is better as a TV series.
Yeah, 1992, Demi Moore was cast to play her. So,
and she's way wrong.
Way wrong. But think of how long, I mean, even saying Patricia Cornwell, I mean, that feels like a name.
Well, the Clancy, you know, John Krasinski is Jack Ryan.
I wish they would do another season of Jack Ryan.
We hope so, because two isn't enough.
It is not enough, because that is so good.
We got to go, because it's time for the Dirt Alert.
This is a My Talk Dirt Alert.
Hi, Holly.
Good afternoon. Happy Thursday.
Same to you.
Welcome to your Dirt Alert, starting with a little Tom Cruise news. Because if something happened on the set of Mission Impossible 7 and we didn't hear about it in the tabloids, did it ever really happen in the first place? Well, Tom Cruise is self-isolating after crew members test positive for COVID on the set of Mission Impossible 7.
Is he not vaccinated?
I don't know. But all that ranting and raving and lording over the set of Mission Impossible 7, boy, did that just go away and he went radio silent. That happened at the new year.
I wouldn't be surprised if Scientologists didn't believe in vaccinations at all.
I've heard stranger things.
Yeah.
I've heard stranger things.
And so now he's quarantining in England.
Mm-hmm. Now, according to The Sun, Tom Cruise was exposed while filming a nightclub scene where four dancers and 10 set workers later tested positive. And because Tom Cruise was standing within meters of the crew, he also has to monitor symptoms and avoid contact with others. Now, the whole shooting crew, about 60 people, have all had to self-isolate for the past couple of weeks. The source at The Sun says it's going to badly affect filming and they'll be playing catch up when they finally come back.
Well, Tommy boy, you should just get vaccinated, goofball. Dude.
Yeah. I mean, you have options. Ways and you have, when you're Tom Cruise, you have options. Yeah. You know, the Page Six noting that it's Tom Cruise's worst nightmare come to life because 5 months ago, he lashed out at all the workers on the set of Mission Impossible 7 for not social distancing.
That he was single-handedly saving the movie industry. Well, then get your vaccination, Tommy.
Yes. Wow. Yeah. All right. So there's Tom Cruise isolating in London. Matthew Perry fans are speculating that he's dating his assistant after sharing a photograph days after split with his fiance Molly Hurwitz. So this photograph is of himself sitting in a chair. They're trying to sell the Chandler Friends merch. She's standing next to him. Her arm is back behind him on the chair and they're just posing. And he said, you know, could I be any more grateful for my assistant making a Chandler Bing joke? Your thoughts?
Yeah.
Well, I'm not surprised.
Yeah. So people are dissecting these photographs. He just broke up with his fiance just a couple of days ago. And it was just basically like, well, these things happen.
I wish that he would go and stay at least at Kudrow's guest cottage.
Yeah. And just.
And the friends would go over there and hang out with them and talk to him and see what's really going on.
Yeah. You know, just take it easy. Lay low.
Take it easy. Stop selling the stupid merchandise. And why are you ping-ponging around from chick to chick?
Yeah.
Do you guys know You know, we thought I never knew exactly how much they make from the syndication of Friends every year.
Isn't it $20 million?
It's $20 million a year. Each. Each.
Oh. 20, and they each got paid $2 million to do this 2.5. reunion. 2.5, yeah.
$20 million a year.
Yeah, so maybe the merchandise is something to do.
It's a joke. It's just, yeah.
You know, Matthew Perry, I think, just trying to be coy and tongue in cheek with the idea of him being Chandler.
I wish he'd go back to acting. You know? Remember, we liked him in that show. It didn't stay on the air very long. It didn't. Sunset 60 or something. Yes. It was like an Aaron Sorkin show.
Yes, it was. And it had the blonde girl that's with
them. It was about making a TV show.
Studio 60 on the Sunset Strip.
Yeah, we loved that.
It was almost like it was too small. Smart for network television. It belonged on a cable.
If that show had premiered 10 years after the fact, it would have had a nice run.
It was so good.
Mm-hmm. It was, and he was good in it.
Yeah, but it was on NBC, and it came out right before, you know, prestige TV was happening at that time, but all the focus was like on, you know, Mad Men, AMC, where you could be risque, and you could start doing stuff, and then we got the Breaking Bads and so on and so forth.
Yeah, he needs a new agent.
He does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hate to break it, but a dancer at a party in Atlanta for Diddy caught fire last night.
Did somebody turn? Was there a birthday party?
It was a birthday party. Okay. None of us were invited.
Okay. How does that happen?
Well, there were dancers on tables wearing feathered skirts, and one dropped down to get her eagle on, says the source. And then she caught on fire from the candle. A spy tells Page Six that nothing was left but her string thong.
Uh-oh. Now, so she's got burns.
Yeah. So, it looks like she's okay. We don't have a report on her, but yeesh.
They also let us know that because they had, like, a permit for a white tiger in a cage at this party. And they want PETA to not focus on them. So they were like, let's get the naked girls flaming on fire out to Page Six and TMZ right away.
Thank you for the Hollywood speak, Lori. That's exactly right. Because people are bashing this party for their use of exotic animals as a source of decoration.
I don't understand that anymore in this day. In 2021, to have a caged white tiger
at your party.
Come on.
That's choogy, bougie.
It's so choogy.
All of the above.
All of the above.
Wow.
Just bad.
Mariah Carey's dropping a new song on June 10th, and it's produced by Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis.
Whoa!
Yes. So reports are saying that Mariah Carey is collaborating with Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis. This is a new song dropping June 10th called Somewhat Loved. Now, this song is not going to be a Mariah Carey official track. It's appearing on Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis's debut album called Jam and Lewis Volume 1.
What does that mean? Does she scat or something?
Album.
Does she go, ooh, like that?
Does she have the runs on this?
Yeah, that's what I mean.
I don't know. You know,
that's such a weird description.
Yeah. So
she sings the chorus.
Well, it's just because it's not on an album by Mariah Carey. That's what I'm saying, where she's providing the vocals for this. And I think that it seems like with this album, I'm just speculating at this point, but it's, you know, they said of this album, Jimmy Jam and Terry Lewis, they said, when we started Jam and Lewis Volume 1, we put a wish list together of all of our favorite artists. And the chance to reunite with our friends and fellow songwriter Hall of Fame partner Mariah Carey was a wish list fulfillment at its finest.
All right. Well, good.
Yeah, so that's very exciting, and we're going to have a new possible summer jam.
Yeah, I hope so.
On June 10th, Elizabeth Hurley says she's still friends with Hugh Grant. Not surprising at all.
No, her son, Hugh Grant's the godfather of her son, Damien.
Yeah, but why is she doing all these interviews? She's hearing a lot from her.
She's got a new bathing suit line.
Oh, is that it?
No, I'm just making it up.
Very
Remember
convincing,
her diet
though.
Of a raisin, a peanut, and an apple?
Yeah.
And some watercress?
Yeah. Right.
Watercress soup. Which is basically just grass and water.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you too could look like Elizabeth Hurley if you just eat like a rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she's doing a podcast on the 90s, and she was said she's still extremely good friends with Hugh, and they've gone through so much together. They haven't been romantically involved in 2 decades, but they have a strong friendship together.
She could get cast in Dynasty. Dynasty is back on the CW.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's surprising that she's not in Dynasty.
Kind of.
Couldn't she be like somebody's eccentric,
yes,
English, rich,
yes,
like some dame coming over,
yes,
here?
Yes, absolutely. I love that show. Can I just say that? There's some really good people on that show, including Grant, you know,
right,
show Grant from Melrose Place.
Yes.
He plays John Forsythe's character.
Oh, speaking of 90s hotness.
I know.
I mean, it just makes
it so hot.
So hot.
He's pretty.
Wasn't he with Heather Locklear?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's, Grant is pretty hot. As you know, Mr. Carrington,
mm-hmm,
the elder, you know, he's pretty good.
Nice, nice. Well, that's the dirt for this afternoon.
Thanks, Holly.
All done. All right, my talk traffic.
Tell him your theory, Lauren.
So many theories today.
Yes.
Would you guys like to go down a taco theory road? Or would you like to go down a universal game that's banned everywhere theory?
I want the universal game that's banned, sure, everywhere to start. But the taco one sounds like a good juicy second.
It does. Okay. So... yeah, the ban hammer, this was a survey of 2,000 U.S. residents, and guess what is the game that is banned the most from family game night, family and friend game night? The game that people universally agree on shall not be played.
Monopoly.
That is correct.
Is it because it lasts too long?
No, Monopoly is the most debated and most forbidden board game of all time. Well, here's what Monopoly, here's my theory. Monopoly, okay. Monopoly, people, it brings out competitive and unfriendly behavior. There's something about money and property deeds that get people going. People accuse each other of cheating playing Monopoly. People get into arguments over Monopoly because you're like, why are you buying up? But you're just doing that to, you know, blah, 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 blah.
And to block me from getting a Monopoly.
That's right.
Which is the strategy.
But it causes the most fights because people have very right and wrong ways that they view Monopoly playing.
Wow.
Yeah. So, Rocco,
wow. Did you grow up playing Monopoly?
Yes.
We did too.
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I always was the race car.
Okay. Yeah. Isn't that funny? Mm-hmm. Isn't that funny? I like being the shoe.
Yeah.
But when it was my kids' generation,
yeah,
and we'd play with them, I thought that was the longest game in America, so I would always hide my money.
Yeah,
like, I would go broke and
as
stuff.
As a kid, though, part of the allure of Monopoly was that it did go long, but maybe that is the other theory about why it's banned for family. It goes on too long.
They came out with a new Monopoly game that was supposed to be done in an hour. It was like Quick Monopoly, I swear.
Mm-hmm.
The game went on forever.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, people pretty much are in agreement on that. As far as who's the problem in playing game nights.
Who is the problem?
Well, according to people over the age 57 plus, 71% say they are never the problem. People between the ages of 41 and 56 say, you know, about 60% of the time they think they are the problem. And millennials between 25 and 40, they think, you know, just like only like, you know, 38% of them are to blame. And even young Gen Zers, they only think 20% of the time they're the problem.
Rocco, have you ever played Monopoly with Bruno? Let's be honest.
We had there was one game at a little family get together and it was kind of fun, but again, it just went on too long.
Yeah. There's so many other great
games. And the longer the game goes on, the possibility of conflict increases.
Oh my word.
We want more relaxed games, not the intention of beating everybody else, which is what the Monopoly thing is. It's not like it's like a team, like apples to apple. You know what I mean? There's other way. People want to have fun. That's their main mission in having
game. Absolutely.
And that's why the theory that Monopoly is the one that, no, we'll play anything but.
I just don't know that it gets played.
Yeah. Kids like to play it. together with each other.
Nephews and stuff that love it.
They love it because it goes on and it does have strategy and they can do it, you know, and it's better than life.
Oh, well, who even bothered with that dumb game?
I don't know. Okay, here's my...
I go back to Candyland. That was an easy, simple game with gum drops.
Well, yeah, that's fun for, like, the right age.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. Okay, let's get to the taco theory. What the food that is most guaranteed to brighten a bad day?
Tacos?
Tacos is the day brightener. If you were looking...
I love a taco.
...to brighten somebody's day with a fun meal, people get excited about eating tacos and...
You could do so many things with tacos. They could be chicken tacos. They could be steak tacos, shrimp tacos, fish tacos.
That's right. This was a study from HelloFresh.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they want you to buy their taco kit.
Right. But they were just asking, what are all the different food? Bacon is a day brightener.
Oh, my word,
Maybe we're having BLTs for dinner tonight. Do you like that?
I have beautiful
tomatoes. Would that be a day brightener, Rocco?
With sourdough bread.
Sourdough bread, lots of mayo, maybe some avocado on the side.
Oh, that sounds so good.
A really good slice of beefsteak tomato that somebody has lightly salted. And then good bacon.
Oh, yummy.
Yeah, and also steak.
Oh, I love steak. Mm. These are all my meals.
Grilling steak is a day brightener.
100%.
Yeah, so... Anyway,
I ate all those things this weekend.
You did?
Mm-hmm.
And they are delicious.
Totally.
Deciding what to have for dinner after having a bad day is something that people say can make them feel
You know what's
better.
Weird? I live by myself.
Yeah.
I find myself buying a really nice steak a lot. And I fry it in the frying pan.
Yeah.
But I really like to treat myself to steak. I love a steak.
Julia, I'm going to have bacon and eggs for dinner tonight.
That sounds good.
Doesn't it?
Every time I make steak in the house, I set off all the smoke alarms.
Oh, do you?
Oh, yeah. Rocco.
I know. So that's why I love summer grilling season.
Right. It's here. Yeah.
You're outside.
Oh, I love steak.
Okay. So that's just a little theory. If you just need, just don't forget bacon, tacos, and steak for day brightening, or bacon and eggs, too.
I can't believe ice cream didn't make the list.
No, but for dinner. This was specifically for dinner. What brightens you're I know, sometimes Casey goes, I'm going to make some tilapia. And then I just I just get, all right.
Is he still on the diet?
Well, not the diet. He's trying to lower his cholesterol. It's just, I'm ready to just shove a stick of butter down his throat and just eat it.
They just go get the damn prescription. It'd be so much easier on me.
Right. Okay.
It'd be so much easier.
Now, I thought this was just excellent news. As people age, people feel like, I've got to be more grueling with my workouts or step it up or add weights or do this or that. Well, Julia, here is a study.
I wish I was one of those people.
Well, apparently Tai Chi, which as far as I'm concerned is meditation in motion.
Yes.
Is just as good as regular exercise in getting rid of belly fat.
Tai Chi. Isn't that a lot of kicking?
It's meditation in motion. So, I don't know exactly, but slowly.
Lori's doing this. Yeah.
I don't know if there's.
Okay, that just doesn't look fun to me.
But, Julia, and then free your mind, and you could do your Sanskrit word.
The rest will
But just
follow.
Imagine, if we just did, 30 minutes, if we really got a Tai Chi, it is just as good for the belly fat as jumping around in a high-octane exercise class or running or biking. I mean, I thought you would be genuinely happy to hear this news.
I don't know that looks like fun.
I like it.
I like it too, Rocco.
All right. Well, maybe I'll try
you don't realize how much meditation and motion you probably already do. Plus, you do so much. You're such an active pickleballer and tennis baller.
I haven't played lately. I've been really
bad. You know what I mean? Yeah. So you don't really have to worry about that because you are getting your exercise in that way. But some of us maybe are getting injured from our exercising. I'm talking to myself.
Yes. So it would be a non-injurious
way. That's right.
Way to do both two and things at one time. So you can meditate.
This was a study that they wanted to look at people with limited mobility.
All
and they had, so listen what they did. They had They had 500 adults over the age of 50 mm-hmm. that were at least had some level of their BMI that they knew they wanted to lose weight, different levels of it, 12 weeks. And they had one group do zero exercise. Okay. One group did regular exercise, either going to classes or riding bikes or running. And one group did Tai Chi. And guess what?
Tai Chi went out.
Tai Chi. Julia, thanks mm-hmm. for the on.
No problem.
The Tai Chi and exercising group both lost belly fat. And the Tai Chiers had better cholesterol. I'm bringing this home for Casey. Oh,
and it was probably good for mental health.
It is. Yes. It's meditation in motion.
I've never thought of Tai Chi that way. You've enlightened me.
Yeah, and I see people do it sometimes down by the river. There'll be a class, but you can look at it. But it's a series of moves. And I feel like in Karate Kid, there's some Tai Chi movements where they just do the slow. Rocco, am I right about that? Would it be kind of a Tai Chi?
Lori, if you could see her, she's moving. She's doing, for our YouTube followers, Lori's going to do a performance for you right now. She's got her hands moving. We don't know if she's doing interpretive dance or Tai Chi.
But her belly fat is just wasting away.
It also helps if you can't eat for a week.
Yeah. I don't know. I was really, I was happy for Tai Chi.
I'm glad to know this because it would be another opportunity for something to do.
And also kind of a meditation, because
I've been missing meditating lately.
And you could maybe, just say your word while you're doing this, and you could just dip a little into two things.
But don't look for the third eye between your eyes.
Have you guys tried meditation?
Oh, Lori.
Yeah, we know our Sanskrit. Mm-hmm. We have our Sanskrit words.
We were way into it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Back in the early
2000s. Yeah, we both know how to TM. Hmm. And
I've the practice I've been using very loosely. I need to get back into it.
No, it's focusing and letting this word roll around in your mind and letting it take over. Let the word take you to
and not letting one other thought come into your mind.
Yeah.
And it's by saying the word repetitively.
And your feet have to be on the ground.
You have to be sitting up straight.
We did this whole 3-day class.
We trained with a major yogi. Who trained with the big dog.
Joseph Perry, rest his soul. He passed away last year. At the good age, though, he was in his 90s.
He was. Yeah. He was brilliant.
This is all the theories I have for you today.
All right, well, those were all good. Tacos to Tai Chi. I liked them. All right, we'll be right back.
We're back.
Oh, thank you, Marco. Did you think you were just talking to yourself? Julia and I were just discussing.
Well, I know you guys are
just discussing.
You guys are meditating about cats.
Yeah, we're doing Tai Chi in here. Working on our belly fat.
Sanskrit word for cat.
That's right. I don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is. I barely know what mine, I don't even know what mine means, and I could never spell it.
I took a meditation class, and it didn't involve words. It was a lot of sitting and breathing.
It just is, they're all different.
No, we did transcendental meditation. That's when you get a Sanskrit word.
I see. Were the Beatles there? Was the,
no, okay, George no, but Joseph worked, studied with the Maharashi who taught the Beatles.
Okay.
Well, okay.
That's very close.
We're Beatle adjacent.
Thanks.
Yeah. Okay. So just one more bit of casting news. Yes. Dennis Quaid has joined Peacock's Joe Exotic, and
I found this surprising.
And he is going to play Rocco, because I know you watched it. He's going to play that Rick Kirkham, the guy who was so goofy.
Your fingers are over.
Okay, wait a second.
All right, Lori's trying to
that whole
aim.
Show was goofy.
Yeah, I know, but remember that guy who was always in his chair?
He was the one.
Made the documentary.
Who made the video, and then all the footage burned. And
he's the documentary filmmaker who was working with. So that's who Dennis Quaid has just been.
Okay. I never
watched that, and I'm so grateful.
Oh, it was good.
It was interesting.
It was good. It was really, it was
It's
good.
Always weird to learn when there's a whole subculture of something you didn't know
had no
existed.
Idea.
You're like, what? There's what? Exotic cat park people, and they're all weird and hate each other.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, no,
and sometimes murder each other.
Yeah, no, it's just unbelievable. And that guy's still in jail, So that's a little casting news. And really, just to get back, I'm so excited that Tiffany Haddish is going to play Olympic great Florence Griffith Joyner in an upcoming biopic. Mm-hmm. She, of course, was known as Flo Jo, flashy personality and style. And like we said earlier in the show, in 1988, she set the record in the 100 meter and the 200 meter, and that those records still hold.
That's unbelievable to me.
And great, right? She was. And so, she, yeah, those records haven't been broken. She died in 1998, 10 years after the Olympics, of an epileptic seizure at the age of 38. And Tiffany is going to produce the film, and Flo Jo's, her widower husband, you know, right, is also producing the show. And of course, you know, she was just like just a real hero. That's, you know,
that's unbelievable.
She was so beautiful. Oh, we were so taken with her.
To see such a flashy gal run. It was fun.
Glamorous.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
So Tiffany Haddish is also in the new, you know, she does that kids show.
Yeah.
What Kids Say or something. Mm-hmm. First of all, she is still with Common.
I'm so happy for them.
They're
very hot together.
But she wants to, it was National Foster Care Month, the month of May, which is over, but she came out saying she wants to adopt a formed person. So she wants like a 5-year-old. She's looking into that where they're already potty trained. She can just put things in their mind to help them in the world. She doesn't want to have to teach them how to talk.
Well,
and
I always
that.
Feel bad, you know, in Sunday's paper, they always have the kids, you know, looking for a family, and right, they're always like 11 or 14 or,
right,
you know, 9 or, you know, the age like that. And it probably is like the hardest age to find parents.
Right.
For.
Right. Yeah, so we'll see.
Love her. I hope she's filming Girls Trip 2. I think that they are doing that movie.
That was such a funny movie.
Oh,
I still think of the zip line across in New Orleans.
And going to the carousel bar at the Monteleone or whatever the hell that New Orleans hotel is. That's just funny show. That David O. Russell movie that I told you about yesterday, The Canterbury Glass, where everybody's in it.
Yes.
Well, Angelina Jolie told him no. Jamie Foxx told him no. And Jennifer Lawrence, his muse from at least 3 movies, told him no.
Okay.
And he's really an a-hole, I guess. I always forget that George Clooney talked about on the worst movie experience of his life, 3 Kings. Lily Tomlin
was with David O. Russell,
the director.
Yes. Heard Huckabee's, right?
Yeah. Yes. Lily Tomlin, he threw a chair at her.
Close.
He's really an awful person. So I'm surprised that all these people that are in this movie, but we know of at least 3 actors that said no because he's such a problem. He's very abusive. He's a bully. He's violent. And he's verbally abusive.
Okay, that just sounds to
me. So I don't know why. I hope Taylor's just writing a song. I hope she's not acting.
He probably is just writing a song.
And he doesn't seem like he's done a movie in about 6-7 years.
Yeah.
No, because people didn't want to get out about him. And after that bad movie.
Maybe he's gone through some
Joy. I think Joy is the last movie he did.
Did you guys? I never saw Silver Linings Playbook. Did you?
Oh, yeah. That was good. That was really good.
Yeah.
And so was the other one that he did with
American Hustle.
Yeah, with
that
Christian
was amazing,
Bale.
But I guess he was horrible to Amy Adams.
He sounds like an icky, horrible man.
George Clooney has talked about it in a Playboy interview. That's the 3 Kings set is also where... he just said, I'll never work with the guy again. He's just unbelievable. So, I don't know.
It's amazing that whoever's backing this gave him another... Maybe, like I said, he's
Christian
gone through...
Christian Bale, Margot Robbie, Timothy Oliphant, Michael Shannon, Chris Rock, Robert De Niro.
He's gone through some...
No, he hasn't, Julia.
He hasn't, all right.
No, mm-mm. But